Well, good morning, church. Welcome to Trinity. I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. My name is Josh, and we are so thankful and humbled and honored that you would choose to worship with us today. I just want you to know that no matter where you're watching from, if you're watching live this morning or if you're watching this again in the week, we just want you to know that you're loved, that God loves you, that Jesus loves you. We love you. And so thank you. And if you could, if you text the word Trinity to 797979, this is a place where you can find all the information you need during this service. So whether it's a link to give an offering or a link to find out more or to stay connected with a communication card or submit any kind of prayer request, again, if you text the word Trinity to 797979, you'll be able to stay connected and engaged during the service. And so as we get going this morning, I just would invite you to maybe close your eyes, just to take a big breath. It's been a long week, and let's just focus on God and ask him to come and invade whatever space you find yourself in this morning as we start worshiping. So let's do that today. So Jesus, thank you that no matter where we find ourselves, God, there you are. You're always with us. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. Lord, and you promise never to leave us or forsake us. Lord, that is an amazing and comforting thing, especially during these times. So, Lord, thank you that through the roughest of times, the biggest trials that we face, Lord, you have a way of making beauty from nothing. Lord, if it seems like ashes to us, Lord, you can make something beautiful come out of nothing. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. So come on, let's lift up our voices and sing this morning. And I'll search the world, but it couldn't fill me. That's empty praise, treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied, hearing your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Lord, there's nothing better than you.
on, sing with me.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
I want you to remember that God's created everything you see. He breathed it into existence. You remember when his people were caught up in slavery? He rescued them. What he did was he parted the sea and he made a way for them, and then he delivered their enemies to them, and he unlocks wounds, and he provides water from a rock, and he provides manna from heaven, and he brought down the walls of Jericho. He froze the sun, allowing victory. He's toppled giants with tiny stones. He's brought fire from heaven. He's shut the mouths of lions. He preserved life in the belly of a well. He's fed thousands with a few loaves. He gives the weak strength. He heals the sick. He's made the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, and he's overcome evil, and he's made a way through death for you and me by the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, that we will live with him forever. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. What are we afraid of? His resume is flawless. He controls everything. And he loves you.
And so what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? We're people of faith who believe in a God that is perfect, a God that holds all things in the palm of his hand, that even though everything is changing, he is not changing. What are we afraid of? My name is Justin Krupski, and I'm a pastor here at Trinity. I just want to welcome you to Trinity Utica, our online worship on behalf of the pastoral staff, on behalf of Trinity. And we are beginning a new sermon series today as we are coming to perhaps a close in this pandemic in a world that has changed, called Hello, My Name Is. Hello, My Name Is, and I love this series that we've put together because there is truth that we are going to dig into. And we're going to get to reintroduce ourselves to the world, perhaps, as we come back into the world. And we get to say, hello, my name is. And God has told us what our name is. And there is truth and there is life when we live out the truths of what God said is true about us as he describes us as his children. And so, hello, my name is. Today, we say this, hello, my name is believer. Hello, my name is Believer, and there's four truths I want to unpack as we look at this name, this description that God has given to us, a description that we as followers of Jesus have described ourselves as because this is what God has said about us. There's four truths. If you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you to write these lines down about these truths about our name being Believer. And the first truth is this, is as a believer, I know that my name has been given to me. A believer is given their name. We're given it. It is a gift to us. Just like a child doesn't name themselves, a parent names their son or their daughter, so our name is given to us. This name, Believer, is given to us. And there's a man named Abraham, lived 4,000 years ago, and a man named Moses wrote about him for us. It's recorded in the scriptures. And in Genesis chapter 15, we hear a little bit more about this man named Abraham, and some who have grown up in a church call him Father Abraham. He had many children, children of faith, children who have this name Believer. And here's the account in Genesis chapter 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. So there's a couple things that happen from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15. I encourage you to pick up your Bible this week. Look at your Bible app. Check it out. But after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. So God spoke to Abraham in a vision, in a dream. Fear not. Fear not. Again, what are we afraid of, especially if our name is believer? Fear not, Abraham. Abram, for I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And it continues. But Abraham said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless. I am old in age. My wife is barren, not having kids. You made a promise to me years ago, and it hasn't come to fruition. What are you going to give me? And I love this because the truth about a believer, and certainly in this time that we are in, it's so easy to get focused in the darkness and trials and the storm. But God calls us, and what marks the believer is that our eyes are not on the storm or the darkness. Our eyes are on God. And so God takes Abraham. He says, Abraham, stop looking at your wife, Sarah. Stop looking in the mirror. Look up at me. And so he says, look outside toward the heaven. Right? The scriptures tell us, and you and I know this, right? When the stars are out and we see the majesty of creation, all of its brilliance, we can't help but see the glory of God. There must be a God that points us to God. And so God tells Abraham, Abraham, don't forget about who I am. Don't forget about who it is that is talking to you. You are a believer. You believe in me. Look toward the heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Right? People of faith have been Abraham's offspring, because here's what God calls Abraham. It says he believed the Lord. He believed the Lord, and the Lord, he counted it to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. Right? God chose Abraham. Abraham wasn't looking for God. God picked him out of all of creation, out of all mankind at the time. Picked Abraham out, the least of these. Right? And then we go to Jesus. Jesus continues to choose. Right? His disciples didn't choose him. No, he chose them. He came to them, and this is a gift. Right? Our name is a gift. Our faith is a gift. It is given to us. It is encountered towards us because God sees something in us. I picture when a name is given, nicknames. I don't know if you have a nickname. I had a bunch of nicknames growing up. A lot of time it was because some kind of attribute in baseball specifically. I was a left-handed pitcher, but there was a great pitcher named Lefty. And so when I was in eighth grade, one of the coaches always called me Lefty, not because I was left-handed, but because there's this guy named Lefty, and so he just liked calling me Lefty. Right? God gives us nicknames because he sees something in us, and he saw something in Abraham, and that was belief. And so, of course, God calls him believer. Right? You and I, we have been named. Right? We have a gift from God. Right? In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks to the church in Ephesus, to those who have gone before us. God chose you. He named you. He had you on his mind before all of creation. And I would say this to you today, and I said this to our staff here at Trinity a few months back. I said, for such a time as this, right? This is not an accident that you are here right now, and not just for our staff here at Trinity, but it's been the same for you and for me. God knew that we would be born and we would be living during this pandemic. He knew that. For such a time as this, you and I are called believers. Believers. Right? What does that mean? Well, the second truth we want to dig into, not just that believers know that we are given a name. The second thing is that believers, a believer lives out their name, right? We've been given a name. Well, let's live it out. Here's what this means. A man named Thomas. Let's look in the book of John. Thomas is one of the disciples. In fact, many of us who've grown up in the church, right? We hear this guy Thomas, and we always think of doubting Thomas, right? And what's amazing when you look at the Gospels, Thomas is actually a pretty passionate disciple. Right? He keeps telling Jesus, Jesus, I'm all about you. He has some really brilliant questions, and he actually calls the other disciples to have faith in Jesus. But yet there's a time. Right, because the truth of a believer is we are not perfect. You and I are not perfect in our belief, but you and I are watching this service right now. We're participating in online worship. Why? Because I believe that we have a mustard seed of faith. And here's what happens with Thomas after Jesus raises from the dead, right, comes to life again. Right, it says Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin. And I love that he was called the twin. Right, certainly there's somebody among the disciples who apparently he kind of looked like. A lot of theologians would actually say he looked like Jesus. But when I read this word twin, I'm reminded that I get to relate to Thomas. I get to be perhaps Thomas's twin as a reader, as a receiver of the text of this story. He said that he was not with them when Jesus came, right? What a bummer that was for Thomas. Wasn't with them. The other disciples have all seen Jesus, the risen one, the one who was crucified. Now he's alive again. They have faith. Their belief is solid and firm. And Thomas is saying, hey, I didn't get to see him. So the other disciples told him. In the original Greek language, telling him is a perpetual telling. So they just didn't tell him once. They're trying to convince him over and over and over and over and over again. Right? We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands, right, I want to see evidence. The mark of the nails and to place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. And so certainly Thomas does have some belief here, but he wants to be strengthened in his belief. 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were inside again. They're inside the house. And guess who's with them? Because he still has this mustard seed of faith, right? Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, and I love this, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And the truth of many of our lives is in relationship to God when we receive this gift of being a believer, right? Some of us, we had doors locked. Right? We were not going to believe in God. In fact, that sounds childish to have faith. But yet, what God does and what Jesus shows us here is he comes into locked doors. That's what he does. A heart, a mind, a soul that is locked, pushing God away. Guess what he does? He gets in somehow, some way, and he's in your heart right now. I believe that, and I pray that he unlocks that for you and gives you more belief today. But that's what Jesus does. He shows up when doors are locked, and he says this to Thomas, because Jesus accepts us where we are and is always a God of grace and mercy. Thomas, you want to put your finger here? Put your finger here. You asked for it. Here you go, buddy. And see my hands and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And he continues. Thomas answered him, I believe, right? My Lord and my God. Right? You and I are called to work out our name, to live out our name, believer. Right? And the first Christians talked about working our faith out. Right? Working our faith out. What does that mean? I believe it means what we see in Mark chapter 9. A young dad comes to Jesus with a son that is sick, and Jesus looks at him and says, you believe, but do you really believe? Do you believe I can do this? And the young dad says to Jesus, Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Jesus, I believe, help me with my unbelief. That's what it means to live out this name. Right? And the great gospel message, the good news of our faith, is that Jesus continues to show us, you can trust me. Right? I am the one. I was, I am, I will always be. And I pray this, and I believe this is true for me and you. Right? Many of us over the last 3 months, if not before, right, we've gone through things in our life to where our faith has been shaken, where doubts creep in, and it seems like there's more questions than answers. And I believe that God wants to strengthen our faith. And for many of us, our faith has been strengthened. We've been holding on to the promises of God, and somehow God has been showing us that he is good. And I pray that you and I have eyes to see this, and that we believe it when we see it, when he shows up and meets us where we are, and when we say, Jesus, I do believe. I know you've given me this name. Help me with my unbelief. Jesus does that. That's what he's in the business of still doing today. The third truth is this about those who are named believer. Not just that we've been given this name, not just that we work it out, but a believer knows there are others with the same name. The early church, Acts chapter 4, let's get into that. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, right? We saw that video. So many people have gone before us. Right, you and I are watching this service because other people have shared their faith with us. And what I love about this truth about a believer knows there are others with the same name is I think it goes like this. Right? Hi, my name is Believer. Guess what the other person says? My name is Believer too. No way. Right? My name is Justin. Right? I've never had the blessing to actually work with another Justin, but I've played softball with some other Justins. It's always interesting to me when I run into somebody whose name is the same name as mine. Right? For some of us, it messes with us. It makes us feel insecure. right? Or maybe it helps us feel more confident that someone else has the same name as ours. I don't know what kind of feelings you have, right? But the truth of our faith is this, is when we receive the name believer and we work this out, we are not alone. There's others with the same name. And how powerful that is, Christian fellowship, believers fellowship. Because what does that do? It not only encourages us to have other people, it keeps us accountable living out our faith. Right? That we pray with each other. That we give words of encouragement with each other. Right? You and I, we have longed during this isolation period to be with other believers. And now we're getting more of an opportunity to do that. So let's remember there are others with the same name as ours. We are not alone. I'm not the only believer. You're also a believer, and we're in this together. There's power when we know that that is our name and that is other people's names too. The fourth truth I want to share with you during our worship time is this. Hello, my name is Believer. A believer wears their name on their sleeve. A believer wears their name on their sleeve. Jesus said this. He's saying it better than I'm saying it. Certainly, that's what he does. I'm just a squirrel looking for a nut right now. But in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this. You are the light of the world. Right? A believer wears their name on their sleeve. You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Don't hide your name. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. A believer wears their name on their sleeve. All right, the beauty of where we're heading today and also in the weeks to come is this, is we get to go back into the world. Right? We get to introduce ourselves to the world and we're given a fresh start in a sense. And the question is, are you and I going to hide our faith? Or are we going to confess our faith to let the world see us? Are we going to wear it on our sleeves and we can go up to people? Hello, my name is Believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. Right? I think you know my name. I've been with you for months now. I don't know if this is your first time with us online or with Trinity, but my name is Justin Krupski. You do not know my middle name. Some of you might know my middle name. And I'm going to share this with you, but I kind of hide my middle name. I was born in 1978. My parents, this is my grandfather's name, but my parents gave me this middle name that is this, Adolf. My name is Justin Adolf Krupski. Right? And I don't know how you feel about that middle name. I had a lot of mixed feelings, but it was my grandpa's name. And I would say this, right? One Adolf, right, really blew it for all the other Adolfs in the world. That's kind of a truth. And as I think about that and kind of the hidden nature of me with my middle name, right? And I think about where we're going with this message and what Jesus just said to us, right? He wants us to wear our name on our sleeve and how easy it is for me because someone's blown it to hide that name. And the truth, and you and I see this almost every day, there are believers who blow it. Right? They try to do things thinking that they're doing it in the name of Jesus, and they say it's in the name of Jesus, but really it has no business being done in the name of Jesus because that's not what a believer is. And so believers have blown it, but even though that's happening, we'll give you a little rhyme right now, even though they've blown it, right, we still need to own it. You and I need to own this name that has been given to us. Even though others blow it, we need to own it. Right? We need to own our name. Our name is Believer. Believer. God has given you this name. He's given you this gift of faith. He's revealed himself to you. He's chosen you. Receive this name and work it out. Right? Believers live out their name. Right? Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Right? It's almost a daily thing. And believers recognize and acknowledge and live in community with other believers, right? It's not only my name, it's your name too. No way. We have the same name, right? Believers live in community. And believers wear this name on their sleeve. Right? Hello, my name is Believer. I trust in Jesus. I am committed to Jesus, the one right, who died for me, who rose again from the dead, the one who never gives up on me, who has given me this gift, who meets me where I am, gives me forgiveness and mercy, the one who gives me others in my life, and the one who encourages me and has given me a mission that has not changed. In fact, it's even greater now to wear this name on our sleeve, to let the world know who he is and will always be. Hello, my name is Believer. There's a great song of our faith that was written actually pretty recently, and it's called Believer. I'm going to invite the worship team back out here to lead us in this song. And as you are in your homes worshiping with us, I pray if you want to sing this song, sing it. If you just want to receive this song, receive it. If you want to look it up afterwards, if you want to replay it. But this song is just going to really bring this truth home for us that we are believers. There's so much to that. And so may God bless this worship time in this moment right now as we receive this truth and live out this truth that our name, my name, your name is Believer.
I walk a bit different now, now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder. Something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer. 'Cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier. 'Cause I've been redeemed. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know this is not my home. I know I don't walk alone. No matter what comes my way, I have peace through the trouble. I have joy through the struggle, and now my hope's in a brighter day. Yeah. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer, 'cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singing, testifier.
Opportunity to confess what is that we believe. And so if you are a believer, I don't know where you're at in your home right now, but I'm going to ask that you would stand up. We've been sharing this creed for months now here within this online worship, and certainly we've been sharing this creed for years through the ministries of Trinity, decades, over a century actually, over 130 years. And we as Christians have been proclaiming this truth for almost 2,000 years. And so if you're standing up in your home, this is a baptismal creed. This is a confession of what we believe. It's called the Apostles' Creed. And so let's actually confess that we are believers in this moment. And so together from your homes and from our gym here at Trinity, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated if you chose to stand up in your home, but we are believers, and as believers, we pray. We pray. That's what we do. We pray to the one of who we just confess, we believe in, we trust, and we are committed to. And so let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, and then we're going to close our prayer time with praying the petitions that Jesus taught us called the Lord's Prayer. So if you're with others in your home, I just encourage you, grab onto them, hold hands. If you want to go on your knees, go ahead and go on your knees, but we're going to go in time of prayer. I'll lead us in this time. And so please bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Father, you have given us the gift of faith. You have chosen us just like you chose Abraham to go into the unknown. Lord, and it feels like we are going into the unknown as we get reacclimated into the world all around us. But yet, Lord, you've called us to walk by faith and to trust in you. And so we do trust in your promises that you are with us, that you're working in all things, that you will provide for us, that you have a purpose for us for such a time as this. But in this moment, we do lift up those whose faith has been shaken, those who are going through deep trials, those who have asked us to pray for them. So in our own hearts, in our homes, Lord, we lift up these names, these people, these situations. Maybe it's our own situation to you. So please hear our prayers and our petitions as we lay them before your throne of grace. And Lord Jesus, we do pray that you would meet us and those that we just prayed for and give us the strength and the courage through our time of need. And Jesus, you did come and you did teach us how to pray. And so please continue to teach us how to pray as we remember the way you taught your first disciples, those who believed. And now we say the same prayer that you taught through these petitions together as one family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now I just want to share with you a couple different things that are happening through the ministries of Trinity. The first one is this, is online worship time is actually going to change. So many of you are familiar with what we've been doing. We've been doing a liturgical hymn-based service, and we've been doing a blended modern service, which is this service. That service was at 8, this service at 9:45. Certainly you can view them afterwards, and you can share them and everything. But next week, beginning next week, and pretty much the plan is through all the month of August, is our online worship services are going to be at 8:30 a.m., so that traditional liturgical hymn-based service is going to be at 8:30 a.m., recorded from our sanctuary as it has been the last couple weeks. And then this service at 9:45, our modern blended contemporary service, is actually going to now be at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, so you get to sleep in an extra 15 minutes. And because of what we're doing with our worship services here in our spaces, we're beginning to welcome people back in. We are going to be recording this service, the 9:45, that's switching to the 10, that is a modern contemporary blended service, however you want to describe it. It is going to be recorded from the sanctuary, from our sanctuary, because next weekend, which is June 6th and 7th, the elders and the leadership here at Trinity. And certainly you are familiar with this the last two weekends. And today, in fact, people are in the sanctuary receiving communion in these mini worship services, 20-minute worship services. Next weekend, June 6th and 7th, we have decided to do three on-site services. So the first one is on Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m. Before this pandemic, we used to have a 5:30 p.m. service in the sanctuary where we're going to keep doing that one. But the capacity is going to be 200 people. So our sanctuary can seat well over 900 people. So 200 people, we feel we can have safe social distancing. We have got a lot of good practices in place to create a safe and healthy environment for you and your family, for you to feel comfortable to come up when you're able to. But you need to sign up for that. So there's information on our website, trinityutica.com, to sign up you and your household. And there'll be a lot of great just worship opportunities within that service. We pray that when you're comfortable, you can come back and enjoy the fellowship of worshiping together in on our campus. And then Sunday morning, what we're going to do is at 8:30 a.m., which will be streamed live from our sanctuary. Again, the capacity up to 200. The Saturday night and the Sunday at 8:30 are both the liturgical hymn-based services. And then the 10 o'clock service in the sanctuary, up to 200 people once again. And that is our modern service. But the 8:30 and the 10 will be streamed live in the weeks to come, not pre-recorded. And again, because of what we're trying to do with the safety and health of our campus, we want to have everything in one space. And I know many of you prefer the gym, or perhaps even my basement, or perhaps my backyard, or perhaps another place. But the sanctuary is a great place for us to continue to do our online worship as we continue to make these pivots and adjustments through this time seeking godly wisdom. And so June 6th, June 7th, 5:30 p.m. here on site, and then also on site Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10. And so online worship next weekend is also at 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And certainly you can go to our YouTube channel and replay any of these worship services during that time. Also want to share with you two other things. Confirmation, our youth have gone through confirmation and we are confirming them June 6th and June 7th. In fact, there's going to be online confirmation services for these 8th grade students, these second year confirmation students. That is truly a blessing for them and a blessing for many of us. We can go on there, we can chat, we can encourage them. Those services are about 45 minutes to an hour long, led by our youth minister, myself and Pastor Chris. So we're excited. 11 a.m., you can go to our website and watch that service, 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 6th, or 1 p.m. Sunday, June 7th. That's the confirmation. I want to give a shout-out to our day school families here at Trinity. One more week of school kids and families and teachers. Keep up the good work. So Josh mentioned this in the beginning of the service as we get ready for our offering time and just considering the partnership and just our belief in God and how that affects how we are stewards of the resources that God has given to us. You can text the word Trinity. If you have a cell phone, text the word Trinity to 797979. So I'll repeat myself. You can text the word Trinity, 797979. You receive way more than just opportunities to partner with us financially. There's a lot of ways we can connect with you. If you send that text, we'll send a text right back to you so you can get connected with us more. But right now, I just want to encourage you. Consider our offering, considering just, hey, God, I trust in you and give. And certainly you can come up to Trinity and give in the weeks to come too. You just don't have to give online. There's different ways to give. But certainly, right, this is a statement of faith. And I do want to thank you for your partnership. God is certainly providing for the ministries of Trinity so we can continue to do all of our ministries, not just during this time, but certainly in the months to come and the years to come. So thank you for considering partnering with us and considering this offering time with Trinity. And so with all of that said, we have one more great song of our faith. It's called Rejoice. And so I know Josh is probably going to do this anyway, but get up if you haven't got up yet. And if you haven't sung from your house over the last few months, now would be a good time to start singing, lifting your voice up, getting ready to perhaps come back here to our campus to sing. But go ahead and rise and let's sing the song Rejoice as we wrap up our time getting ready for our children's message.
Stars above is the God who bends to
you bless us with this unrelenting love. Rejoice, come and lift your hands and raise your voice. He is worthy of all praise. Rejoice, sing the mercies of your King, and we tremble. Turning tragedy to triumph, turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle, so take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice when you cry to Him, He hears your voice. He will wipe away your tears.
What a great song of our faith, Rejoice. We can rejoice. And so I pray that you experience joy. Even in the midst of trials, there is joy. We can plant our sorrows into God by faith, and He gives us joy. So let's rejoice. Let's rejoice and see God's goodness and see His provisions in our life. So as we get ready for the children's message by Allison Carr, please receive this blessing as we conclude our time together. But don't forget to get your kids for our children's message. May God our Father, may He continue to remind us of the names that He has given to us. We are believers in Him. May Jesus continue to be the one that we confess faith in, the one that we are committed to, the one that we trust in. We believe in Him. May the Holy Spirit of God cause us to wear this name on our sleeves and to let our light shine, His light shine through us to be a blessing. So we look forward to seeing you all hopefully soon, and may God bless you and keep you healthy and safe, and we are here for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. So let's go into Allison Carr's home right now.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad to be joining you again this week. How many of you have ever used a flashlight before? Maybe you've experienced when there's a really big storm and your electricity goes out and you have no power. And because of that, there's no lights. So you have to use a flashlight to get around your house. Or maybe you're like me and you've gotten to experience camping during the summer months. And when you're camping and the sun goes down, the only thing you have to get as a source of light are flashlights. Well, flashlights can be very useful and very helpful. Imagine if you were finding someone or something outside after the sun goes down. Wouldn't a flashlight be really helpful? Well, it could be, but unfortunately, my flashlight ran out of batteries, which means it's out of power. So this flashlight isn't much help at all, because without power, without batteries, this flashlight is pretty well useless. What if it did have batteries? Wow, that's pretty bright. This would be perfect in any dark situation to help me see what I needed to. Well, in the Bible, as followers of Jesus, it says that we are to let our light shine. Even though we don't literally glow like flashlights, When we live in the light and love of Jesus, our lives are the light that shine out for everyone to see. It's our words and our actions that are the light pointing others to Jesus. There are a lot of people that are living in the darkness because they don't know who Jesus is. It's like a flashlight without any batteries. But when we let our light shine, we can point everyone to the love and hope that we have in Jesus, who is the light of the world. So we don't want to be stingy with our light. We want it to shine bright for everyone to see in every situation. So let's say a prayer, talk to God, to ask Him for His help as we continue to try to live the way He wants us to, so that our light can shine out for everyone to see. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Help us to shine bright. Give us your Holy Spirit to give us the power to shine our lights bright, to show others the love we have for you and the love you have for us. All this we ask in your name. Amen. All right, boys and girls, it wasn't too long ago where we were all making a pretty great effort to shine our light from home. We were doing awesome window paintings with crosses and sidewalk chalk murals that were all shining the light of Jesus. But we don't want that to stop. We want to continue to shine our light, and even more so as we kind of continue to come out of this, to go back into the world. We want our light to shine as bright as it can be. So don't be afraid to let it shine all the time. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and that you continue to find ways to let your little light shine for everyone to see. Because when there is light, there is no darkness. I pray you guys all have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.